But this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, oh Lord, what can I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. My Savior, pardon me from guilt and shame, I know. I'll trust His saving grace while traveling here below. I know He'll welcome me at heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, I know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what can I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. The saints in glory land are shouting victory. I want to join the band and live eternally. Hear the sweetest praise from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, I know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what can I do? For the angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Shall we gather at the river? Shall we gather at the river? Where bright angels' feet have trod, with its crystal sky forever, glowing by the throne of God. Oh, yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful, beautiful river. Together with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. On the margin of the river, dashing up its silver spray, we will walk and worship ever. The happy golden day. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful, beautiful river. Together with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Ere we reach the shining river, lay we every burden down. Grace our spirits will deliver and provide a robe and a crown. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful, the beautiful river. We'll gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Soon we'll reach that silver river. Soon our pilgrim shall see. Soon our happy hearts will quiver with a melody of peace. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful, beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Never once did you leave us all alone. Never once did we ever walk alone. Standing on this mountaintop, looking just how far we've come, knowing that for every step you were with us. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory is your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts will say, yes, our hearts will say. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory is your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, never once did we ever walk alone. Carried by your constant grace, held within your perfect peace, and never once, no, we never walk alone. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. Every step we are breathing in your grace, evermore we'll be breathing out your praise. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. Never once did we ever walk alone. Here we go. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. All right, be seated, please.
Okay, thank you for being here tonight. Larry, good to see you. You're back among us. It's good. Got you going again. Okay. Vanessa, Jatan is out of the hospital. She's having a lot of pain, but she's recovering. And keep her lifted up in your prayers. Also, Louis Stamps is still in the hospital, and he may be undergoing surgery. Rose didn't know for sure what was going to take place there, but he has a broken leg. Didn't know if he fell and broke it, or he got out of bed and it broke and he fell. But anyway, it's up above his knee, and they're talking about surgery now. They were. Rose was fearful that he wouldn't live, but anyway, keep him lifted up, and that family, keep that family lifted up. I want us to back up just a little bit. There's something else I want to cover in chapter 4 before we move on to the latter part of chapter 5. And in chapter 5 is where Peter ends up in jail, and the angel comes and releases him. Let me tell you what I believe about the apostolic age. And you can take that and maybe $1.15 and get a cup of coffee or something. But this is what I believe about the age of the apostles. I do believe that there was a certain amount of power that they possessed that you and I do not. Now, I believe that the same Holy Spirit. I believe in the healing of God. I think that God heals people. But I do believe that there was a certain amount of power that the apostles had that proved their apostleship. When you study the Scripture, you discover that Paul believed that he had that. He didn't say that in any certain terms, but he said he was an apostle called out of season because he did raise the dead. I was in a food line at a restaurant. And this man standing in line with us was telling me that he just returned from a mission trip where he saw people raised from the dead. Well, I tried to be kind, and I was kind, but I didn't believe it. I still don't. And I know that there's some folks that will disagree with me. And Brother Law would say, you certainly have the, you can do that if you won't be wrong. But I know that we don't all agree on all these things, but that's just where I stand at. I think that there were certain powers of the apostolic age that we do not have today. I think there's been several things that have changed that the Scripture talks about would change. And I think that because we have the completed canon of Scripture, and the Bible says of itself that it is perfect, that it is without error, and no one has to add to that or to take from that, and that this is what we are to go by. But we do have the Holy Spirit. And I believe that when a person gets saved, that the Holy Spirit of God comes and resides within them, that they are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I do believe that there are situations and times when the Spirit gives people more power than others. I think that Sometimes when people speak or when they're in a situation that the Spirit gives them a greater anointing than at other times. And I think that I've witnessed that in my own life, and I've witnessed that in the lives of other people. I've listened to lots of preaching in 50 years of great preachers, and I've been in settings where I heard men preach, and I knew that the Spirit was on them, that they were under the power of the Spirit. The place was absolutely quiet. It was just, you knew, you felt. Someone said it was so thick you could cut it with a knife. You felt the, and now the hair's standing up on the back of my head, but you felt the Spirit's presence there. And I think that I've experienced that on a number of occasions, that I've been different places and I felt the power of the Spirit. I think that there's been a few times in some witnessing situations where I felt the power of the Spirit, that I was more anointed than at other times. So that's the reason, that's one of the reasons that I want us to go back to chapter 4 just briefly and look at the new church, the birth of the new church. And I think that there's a great deal of learning for us from what is taking place, what the Bible has given us in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, for us to glean from and to learn from. And I do think that a great deal of that is to be possessed by the present-day church. And so let's look at these verses. I've entitled this Revival in the New Church. And there's three things that I want us to pick up on tonight out of this scripture passage. One is the boldness of the new church. And certainly, I believe that in this present day church, we are to have boldness. Have you been around folks that absolutely had boldness to witness and it was the real thing? I mean, you knew that the Spirit was on them. I mean, and they had the power to witness. It was just there. And I've been around folks, and perhaps you have too, and I've heard them witness to other people, and they didn't have any power. Have you been there? I don't know how to explain that. But I think that God is not for us putting on a show. And if you're with me and I'm witnessing to someone to try to impress you, I'm way off base. I've been at a few funerals when, out of courtesy, they asked someone to say a prayer, and that individual thought they should have asked him to preach the funeral. And he said about a 15-minute prayer or more. And I was thinking the whole time, boy, he wished they'd ask him. He thought they made a terrible mistake by not asking him to do the funeral, because he's preaching it right now. What he would have liked to have said if he'd been given the opportunity. And he was not, in my opinion, I'm not the Holy Spirit, so I don't know. And you'd say, that's judging, Brother Lanny. But I was thinking in my mind, he's not praying to God, he's praying to us. He's talking to us. He's not praying to God. And that's the reason I think it's so fearful that we have a great awe and respect for God. So there's these three things. Boldness is one. A power to witness. Now, they prayed for that. And you read that prayer, it is powerful. They were praying through the Scripture. They were praying for power to witness. And I believe that we're capable of that. I think that the Spirit will empower us to witness if we ask Him for the power to witness. I've heard stories about witnessing when people were witnessing and they didn't want to, but they just felt such an urgency. They were shy normally, but they just felt like they had to witness to this individual. They had to share with that individual. And then there was this great grace, and I'm excited about getting to this part of great grace because it covers so much more than unmerited favor. And I think that when we read this portion of Scripture, it says, "And great grace was upon them." Well, what does that mean? What does that mean, that great grace was upon them? Because they were doing things that were supernatural. Now, and I think that God has that in store for our life. I think that God has the supernatural in store for our life as we give ourselves to Him. Now, I think that we have all of Him. I've read some books on the second blessing, and I've heard it preached on. I've preached on the filling of the Holy Spirit a number of times. I do believe that we get all of Him whenever we get saved. I'm just not sure that He gets all of us. And I think that there are times that He has less of us than He does at other times. So I think that it's a daily surrender that you and I must go through in order for that to be true in our lives. I used to have a college professor that accused me of spiritualizing too many things. But I do believe that's how that works. That's how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. I've got a little book. I think it's E.M. Bounds that is entitled "The Baptism of the Spirit," and I think he's on base there. I think that he's. If you'd like to look at that, you'd certainly be welcome to. So let's look at our passage here in the book of Acts, the fourth chapter and the verse 31. So we're backing up just a little bit. And if you, as Brother Mike would say, if it's convenient for you, let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and His holy word. And when they had prayed, I think that's a great statement. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spoke, the King James uses the word spake, they spake the word of God with boldness. So exactly what they had prayed for had come to pass. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. So we're beginning to see supernatural things happen here that is not natural for a group of people. Now, we're talking about thousands. When Peter preached, 3,000 was saved. Another time there was 5,000 saved. We're talking about a great number. It's more than 120. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power, here we are again. We're talking about supernatural power. And with great power, we could say with great supernatural power, with great power, gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace, there it is, was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. And they laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And here's our old buddy. I love him. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, went into pretty good detail, didn't it? Having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. You can be seated. Number one, in verse 31, they spoke the word of God with boldness. So their boldness was in the word of God. They spoke the word of God with boldness. Their boldness was not in their own opinion. It was in the word of God. Well, this is what the Bible says. Not our own opinion. This is what the scripture teaches. And you hear folks quote scripture that's not in the scripture. They had great boldness here because they were using the word of God. Their boldness was supernatural. The Bible says they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, is this another feeling? You remember, go back to chapter 2. The Holy Spirit came, filled and set upon each of them. That 120 that was in that room. But here, now we're talking about they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says that when they had prayed, the place was shaken. There was such a power of God in their midst. You know, there's a place in the New Testament. I should have looked this verse up. You can when you get home. But when it talks about Jesus and his miracles and the things that he did, it says that, I think it might have been in Capernaum, that it said he didn't do many mighty works there because of their unbelief, except he healed a few sick folk. You remember that? So our trusting in the Lord, our belief, our trusting in him has to do with what kind of power that he has in our life. When we don't believe that God's going to do anything, I think he's not going to do anything. When we expect him to move, we should expect him to move. Remember the other night in the movie? The guy that prayed for rain, and then the guy that prayed for rain got ready for rain. Their boldness was supernatural. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. When God shows up, he shakes things up. The place was shaken, the Bible says. This is not the only time that he shook things up. Several times in the scripture he shakes things up. In Isaiah 6 and verse 4, and the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. God is powerful. He is awesome. When he showed up, he shook things up. I mean, the place was shaken. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine us having a prayer meeting and beginning to feel the building tremble because of the power of God and that God showed up? Acts 16, verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken. God showed up and things were shaken. He shook things up. Secondly, they had power to witness in verse 33. Great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord. Their main deal was that Jesus rose from the dead. Wow. We kind of bypassed that some way. That was the bottom line, man. They were telling folks, hey, I know he was crucified. I know he was buried in the tomb. He rose again. He's the Messiah. And they preach through the Scripture and say, this is what the Scripture said was going to happen. They had this power because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Turn back a few pages to Acts 1. You know what, back to Acts 1, look down at verse 8. And this is Jesus speaking. And this is before the coming of the Holy Spirit. But he is announcing the coming of the Holy Spirit that took place in Acts 2. And he said, but you shall receive power. The word is dunamis. It means supernatural power. It's not just power. It is supernatural. Natural power. It's the kind of power that shakes things up. It's supernatural power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But he didn't say you're going to be doing things that's going to magnify yourself some way. It is not for some kind of self-worth. It's not so you'll get rich. It's not so you'll be able to drive a certain car, live in a certain house, which some of the health, wealth, and prosperity teachers try to teach. That's as false as it can possibly be. You cannot find that in Scripture. It's not in Scripture. This is what he said would happen. When the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses. Now, this word witness comes from a root word that literally means to give your life. That you were willing to give your life to make this witness. And when you read the book of Acts, you discover that's exactly what they did. They stayed with the stuff even though it meant their life. It meant that they were going to when the rulers saw they killed John, and it pleased them. Pleased them that they killed James. Jesus said there's going to come a time that when people kill you, they think they did God a favor. That's going on exactly right now. Right now, that's going on. You'll be a witness. It'll be so powerful, it'll be this deal that you're willing to die for. You believe it so strong that you're willing to die for it. This witness, and you'll witness in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and then he says, unto the uttermost part of the earth. Go all over the earth, spreading this witness, this wonderful news of the gospel all over the world. It's a command. It's not optional. Look at Ephesians, the 5th chapter. When a man is intoxicated with alcohol, it controls his thoughts, his actions, his walk, his reasoning, his decisioning. Controls all those things. And so here, an analogy is given by Paul to the Ephesian church, and he says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Then he goes on to preaches that great sermon. Be filled with the Spirit. In verse 33, back in Acts 4, it says that great grace was upon them. And grace is unlimited. Grace is is unmerited favor. It's unlimited, but it's also unmerited. We can't do anything. We don't deserve it. It's free. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace gives you the power also and the willingness to do that which you could not normally do under your own strength. I think that is what he's talking about when he's talking about great grace was upon them. They certainly had forgiveness. There's no doubt about that. They didn't deserve it. There's no doubt about that. But there was this power in their life to live the Christian life that they would not have normally had. And that was great grace that was on them. Sometimes when Paul opened his letter, he said, grace unto you. An example of that would be how you deal with other people. That is different than what we would normally do because great grace is in our life. We might have the tendency, me and this mouse in my pocket, to clean people's plow when we think they need it. Great grace won't allow us to do that. Great grace would cause us to be an encourager in their life instead of some source of destruction in their life. When I hear people that have had terrible things said to them by their parents and their teachers and stuff about how sorry they are, and they try to live up to that expectation. You and I are not to be that person. We are to deal with people with the Spirit of God in us and on us and deal with them the way that Jesus would. What would Jesus do? I read a little cartoon the other day that this lady was in traffic, heavy traffic, and she was already late running. She was behind this guy, and the light turned yellow, and the guy stopped. And she went into a rage, honking her horn, rolled her window down, and cussing at him, and giving him bad signs. And the policeman came up and tapped on the window and asked her to come with him, and he arrested her, took her to jail. And in a couple of hours, he came and they released her. And he said, ma'am, I've got to apologize to you. He said, I don't know what to say. He said, there was a bumper sticker on the back of your car that said, what would Jesus do? He said, you had one of those little chrome fish on it. Then you had a bumper sticker under that that said, follow me to Sunday school. He said, I was sure your car was stolen. Great grace allows us to deal with other people as Barnabas would deal with them, with the voice of encouragement. How do we encourage? How do we be a Barnabas? How do we encourage people? It's the Holy Spirit comes along beside us. We're to come along beside other people. We're to be an encourager in their life, whether it's family or someone else. And like I said this morning, we're to be an encourager in the life of those people that we may not like. We really ought to like everybody. The Bible says that if we love not, the love of God's not in us. If we don't love people, that's one of the changes that's supposed to take place. And we're to be an encourager to everyone. A Barnabas to other people in our life that God has brought us to this place. Sometimes I think that perhaps the reason we get in situations that we get into is not for the people that we're dealing with, but for us. I don't know exactly how to explain that, but needy people that's all around us, how are we going to deal with them? Is it for them or is it for us? For God to train us in His ways and to teach us in His ways. Brother Lyle used to say, Lord, take us to higher heights and deeper depths. Paul said, I lean toward the prize of the calling. I'm in a race. I'm not looking back. I'm racing forward. I'm pressing toward the mark of the high calling. And I believe that's what we should be about. A few years ago, when Brother Lyle was still alive, we were having an ordination service. We were ordaining Brother Nathan Ritchie to the gospel ministry. And the ordaining council was seated up here on the front pew. And we had made decisions in our council who was to do what. And some of those decisions were prearranged. But one of the decisions that was made that Brother Lyle was to lead in the ordination prayer. And Brother Nathan had made a request that a person that he knew and was close to him that he highly respected preach the ordination sermon. I'm sure the Richies probably remember who that was. I don't remember his name, but I do remember something that he did that impressed me beyond measure. As that council was standing there in front of that pew, and Lyle began to pray the ordaining prayer, Here is an old man that has been in the business for a very long time. And he has been to lots of ordination services, and he's seen a lot of people ordained and been able to help with a lot of ordinations. And mine was one of them. I believe he preached the ordination sermon at my ordination about 50 years ago. But as he began that prayer, the gentleman that was standing next to him just stepped over beside him. And I just, you know, when somebody's praying, you're supposed to have your eyes closed and your head bowed. But some way I caught this movement out of the corner of my eye and it caught my attention. But what this gentleman did was he stepped over beside Lyle and he put his arm around his shoulder as he was praying. Man, that impressed me. It was like, I'm with you. I'm supporting you as you pray this prayer. I've never seen that done before. I thought, that's great. That's the kind of Barnabas I want to be. I want to be that Barnabas. I felt like he was being a Barnabas right at that second, right at that moment. He was being a Barnabas to Brother Lyle. He was being an encouragement to him. Verse 32 says, they were of one heart and of one soul. They had all things common. People don't normally do that. People just don't normally do that. Man asked farmer, he said, if you had 500 hogs, he said, would you give me one? He said, yeah. He said, I'd give you one. He said, if you had 100, would you give me one? He said, yeah. Yeah, he said, if I had 100 hogs, he said, I'd give you one. He said, what if you had 2? Would you give me one? And the guy's expression changed and his chin dropped and he said, "You know I got two hogs." They had all things common, and people just don't normally do that. Verse 34. Let's see where I'm at. Chapter 4, right? "Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and they brought the prices of the things that were sold." Supernatural in the church. I believe we have a giving church. I hope we do. I'm wondering if we're not just scratching the surface. We've been able to experience the last few years. We've started a slush fund, I guess you'd call it that. We call it local missions, where we are supporting churches that might need help. Maybe they're building, something's going on. We've been able to give some churches some pretty good little gifts over the last few years. And I'm not patting us on the back by any means. But I have the feeling that if we continue that and do more, if we continue that and do more, that God is always going to meet our need. Let me give you a little story and then I'm going to quit and we'll be through. This past month, we heard a testimony about some houses being built over in the Rogers area for missionaries that were on furlough. We listened to that and we were moved by the testimony and felt like this is where God's working. Henry Blackaby said, "Look to see where God's working and then join Him in that work." And it looked like that's where God's working. And the church felt led to give to that project. And I might not have all my figures just right. I don't have much to do with the money. But I think we gave them $1,000 when they came. Is that right? Does anybody know? Is that right? We gave them $1,000 when they came and gave the testimony. And then we voted in business session to give them $5,000 more. Is that right? Was it $5,000 more? $5,000 more in the mission in our business session to give them $5,000 more to help in building those houses. Was that week before last? When was that business meeting? I don't know. Anyway. Doesn't matter. A couple weeks ago. And last week, we got a letter from them. I think we posted it. A thank you for our contribution toward them. And I was coming across the parking lot last Sunday, and an individual met me in the parking lot and handed me an envelope and for the church. I opened it up and pulled out what was on the inside, and it was a cashier's check for $10,000 for the church. I don't believe we can outgive Him, do you? I just don't believe we can outgive Him. And I don't believe that you and I as individuals can outgive Him. Gwen and I talked about that a little bit this morning. I said, I just don't think we can outgive Him. He just keeps blessing and blessing. If we're doing it right, if we're doing it in the right kind of spirit, if we're doing it, try to get, there ain't nobody, no, we're not publishing this. This is us. This is our family. And if we do it right, I think that God is going to just keep blessing in that way. If we give it in the right spirit and in the right way. And gosh, is there a limit? I can't imagine, can you? I can't imagine what he could do through our little church if we would just, Lord, broaden our borders. If we just open your mouth wide and I'll fill it, he said. Wow. Let's stand together. Tony Fultz, would you dismiss us with a word of prayer?